RadioInfluence.com.
This is the Valor Hour, powered by the law offices of Ogle, Elrod, and Beryl on Radio Influence. Your weekly glimpse inside all things Valor Fights, and a look at what's going on in the rest of the MMA community. Here are your hosts, the president of Valor Fights, Tim Loy, and your color commentator, Casey Oxendine.
Welcome to the Valor Hour, a look into everything Valor Fights, as well as the headlines from combat sports across the world. Thanks for joining us, and remember to subscribe on Apple Podcasts and Stitcher. This week, we recap a big night of action from last weekend's Strikefest event, plus a sick lineup of guests. All that, plus a big week in national news. And as always, Valor Fights President Tim Loy will address your questions during the Valor Hour Q&A segment. I'm Casey Oxendine, joined by the president of Valor Fights, Tim Loy. Tim, coming off a big time at UFC International Fight Week. Are you back in gear yet?
Oh man, I'm getting close. I'm feeling quite a bit better today, but it took me a couple of days to recover. I was one of the youngest in our group. It seemed to have the least amount of stamina, if you will. So it's taken me a little while to recoup. But I also have a child, and they don't. So that's got to count for something.
That's true. Now we are also joined by a special guest host here, longtime MMA manager and coordinator extraordinaire, Jeff Hobbs. Jeff, so great to have you with us.
Thanks, guys. I mean, it's an absolute a pleasure to be on with you guys. I've listened, to the replays every week, and I enjoy this. I used to always get on with Bluegrass and Gary up in Kentucky, and he would call me every week. And I told you, Casey, during the break, I could do this all night long, talking the sport I love with, knowledgeable people that know the ins and outs and what they're talking about. Love it. Glad to be here.
Well, same here. And, I don't have a shrink. And this is what it is. This weekend I turned 40 years old, but also earlier this afternoon laid my grandmother to rest, a lot of really crazy things going on. And the reason I bring that up is because this is really my way of working through things. This is the mixed martial arts as a whole, and just the community here, you guys being here and talking fights and stuff like that. So it really goes to show that the people you surround your life with and the things you surround your life with, they really go hand in hand with healing and recovery and things like that. And I feel it makes me feel good to be here tonight. So just being real. And with that being said, let's get on to the news. It was a big week for the UFC as International Fight Week poured into Las Vegas with two big weekend events. Of course, that was Friday's Ultimate Fighter finale and Saturday's UFC 213. We saw Robert Whittaker take the interim middleweight belt with a win over Yoel Romero. Then Tuesday, it was the first installment of Dana White's Contender Series. Now, we've already said it, Tim, you were there in a big way. Talk about these events, what stood out to you the most, and what you're looking forward to.
The event on Friday, the finale, I thought it was the more entertaining of the two. I thought there were some great fights there. Not a whole lot of upsets, really. It was, everything went kind of according as the, what you would expect. But Jesse Taylor looked awesome, beating Diego Lima there. A pretty dominant performance to win the Ultimate Fighter, and that's kind of the whole theme of the series was redemption, and that's kind of your ultimate redemption story. The guy, I think he'd never lost in the octagon. He was undefeated on both of his seasons, but just dicked it off, with shenanigans the first time, and comes back and has a really dominant dominant tournament again, and beats a very tough guy and probably one of the favorites to win it all in Diego Lima. So he looked good. And then Gaethje and Johnson was awesome. That was a war, and Johnson looked like he was going to get him out of there in the first. He really kicked his ass in the first, and then in the second round, Gaethje hurt him, and Johnson showed a lot of toughness hanging around as long as he did. But you know, Justin Gaethje, he smelled blood and he got that finish and kind of announced his entry into the UFC, you know, with a bang. And then Saturday, you know, the UFC 213, I didn't think the fights were that great on that card. To let everyone in, I actually lost our tickets. I was given our tickets about an hour and a half, 2 hours before the event by Jason Burrell, who was a most gracious host this weekend. Thank you. Shout out to him, my partner in crime, Jason Burrell, treated us to a extravagant weekend in Las Vegas. And I was feeling the effects of that during the lead up to the event. He gave me the tickets to hold on to. We went to the sports book to put in our bets and kind of got out one of the sheets to kind of circle our picks, in which I must also say I went an atrocious, unbelievable 1-11 with my picks with UFC 213.
How was
apologies that to all the fools that tailed me that night. Regardless, I set the envelope with the tickets there at the counter and walked over to put my bets in, and then we just left. And we hadn't even gotten out of the building yet to go over to the venue where the fights were before I realized that I didn't have the tickets. We ran back, and there was an empty envelope sitting there. So apologies to all involved, but I actually lost our UFC 213 tickets. We didn't get to attend. That said, it wasn't that good. You know, like, we didn't miss like that much. You know, there were some good fights, but there was nothing that was just, in my opinion, stellar. You know, the main event was lost at the last minute, you know, with a weight cutting issue potentially with Amanda Nunes. So what was already a cursed card, you know, what was written, now I would have been in the floor had the card actually stayed together the way it was supposed to, with Cody versus TJ and Cowboy versus Robbie. Now that would have been a real bad party foul, but as it was, you know, the guys that I was with were very gracious, to say the least, and didn't let me beat myself up over it too much. The main event, Whitaker Romero, was pretty cool. You know, Romero came out of the gates and won the first two rounds, and then he gassed, and Whitaker took over the last three. So now, you know, I guess we've got him and Bisping coming up after that. Not too much else of note besides that. You know, Alistair beat Verdum in a kind of whatever fight. Pettis beat Jim Miller, and that was pretty exciting. But other than that, it was kind of meh.
Well, of course, bringing up Jason Burrell, this is a guy that is not only involved in Valor Fights, but he is the sponsor for the Valor Hour. You know, of course, in the intro, Ogle, Elrod, and Burrell. So we always have a big shout out to him. Now, let's talk a little bit. Jeff, we were discussing a little bit about the main event that fell off, about apparently sinusitis is what took Amanda Nunes out. What are your thoughts on that? Let's get some discussion on that.
Yeah, I mean, that was the official diagnosis, I guess, that the public was given. I think, you know, what you and I had talked about off the air was spot on. Regardless, when these guys are dropping out with sinusitis, fevers, flus, food poisoning, whatnot, whatever the explanation they give the fans and the public, you know, my opinion is it all comes back to the weight cut. I realize, you know, they tried to save face and say no, you know, she made weight, and she did. That's great. But, you know, in my opinion, it's the effects that the weight cut is having on their bodies that's leaving them susceptible to all these other, you know, possible issues. And, you know, your immune system is jacked. Your body has nothing left there to fight off anything. And I'm sure just someone sneezing in the room, you know, it could be detrimental, you know, to a fight. So, you know, my opinion is it was a weight cut issue.
There you have it. Tim, what say you?
You know, as the promoter on that end of things, it's got to be frustrating, you know, because especially when, you know, you've built this pay-per-view, this whole this whole event essentially has fallen on their shoulders in an event that's already been cursed. You know, it's lost. It's the very, you know, the meat of it all, to where it was really hard to honestly call that a pay-per-view worthy event, you know? And so you've got to imagine that there is a little bit of a higher standard set for the people that are in those slots to kind of suck it up. If it's not a really, you know, a really pressing issue, you just don't really feel that good, you know, but probably due to your own, you know, your own doing, from your own weight cut, you know, you suck it up. And, you know, if you happen to drop it, then, you know, you dropped it. But the show was built around you, you know. And then there's the side that's going to say, hey, you know, you shouldn't want fighters to fight when they're not feeling well, when they're sick and, you know, whatnot, et cetera, et cetera. I get it, you know, but in this, you know, if a fighter is sick, they've got some sort of virus or illness, that's one thing, but this is almost a self-induced situation.
Yeah, and don't let my explanation, you know, I agree with you. You know, I just think that, and it was my opinion, that's what it boiled down to. But I 100% agree with you. The fact that if you look back at interviews and footages before, and I think it may have been the Misha Tate fight. It could have been the Rousey fight. You know, she's been on record as saying, you know, somebody asked her how she felt, and she had mentioned her sinuses and sinusitis. So you have been able to compete in the past with this same exact issue, you know, at the highest level against Rousey, against Tate. You know, this was no more dangerous opponent than Tate was, or possibly Rousey. It's hard to say now. But, you know, you've competed with this before. And I know Casey will tell you, and Tim, you've been around so long and doing this around so many fighters. No one. If you are going into a fight 100% and feel great and say that there's nothing wrong, then you didn't train properly. You didn't train for the fight, because something hurts. Something's tweaked. Something's pulled. Something doesn't feel right. You know, your hand hurts. Your knuckles cracked. Your ankle's swollen. Something's wrong with every fighter that steps in that cage. So I agree with you, Tim. She should have sucked it up. You're the champion. There was probably millions of dollars spent in advertising. It was once again a chance for female mixed martial arts to headline a pay-per-view. And I'm right there with you. I was ready to hit the order button 3 hours before the event. As soon as I saw the main event was gone, that was the straw that broke the camel's back for me. I washed the clothes that night, you know. And that was it. There was no reason to watch. 100% agree. The card the night before was 100 times. It should have completely been flip-flopped. I would have paid happily for that Johnson Gaethje fight before I ever would have the pay-per-view event.
Well, as we mentioned earlier, that wasn't the end. Of course, we had the Contender Series, which debuted Tuesday night. And it was highly anticipated by me just simply because of Jamie Pickett, a fighter that I'm very familiar with. Actually, Tyler Minton, one of my fighters, who's actually a nutritionist now, we saw on The Ultimate Fighter in a few of those scenes. It was really cool. He fought Jamie Pickett a few years back, and it was a war. And so since then, I had followed Jamie and in his you know, ups and downs of his career. And this one was a big break for Jamie. Tim, what do you think?
Well, first, you know, the event as a whole, it was pretty cool. I watched it, and I really liked how they really kind of went in depth on everyone. Like, you know, there's only five fights, and all five fights kind of got the treatment as far as just video packages, and you really kind of get a little bit of insight on each competitor. So that was I enjoyed the presentation of it. Yeah, Joby Sanchez won. He's a guy that, you know, we've seen around here through XFC, and he was also through the UFC for a moment. And he fought, you know, a pretty highly touted LFA guy, Manny Vasquez, and he won. I thought Pickett was doing okay. You know, he got the bad end of a scramble and was starting to fade cardio-wise, but he took the fight on, you know, 5-6 days notice and had to cut weight and whatnot. So, and Bird's tough, you know. He's another legacy vet that's, you know, has been in there deep and is, you know, he's in the latter, in the twilight of his career, if you will. He's getting up there in age, and so he really was hungry and looked good. Of course, Boston Salmon. I didn't really get to watch that fight. I'd stepped out for a moment on that, but I saw he got one of the contracts, so he must have looked really good. And I thought that that Azuna, a Yanwu guy that knocked out Rebello was impressive. I'm surprised he didn't get a contract as a heavyweight that got a knockout like that. And then, of course, Kurt Hollibaugh, he kind of dominated against Bissett, and he got the other contract. He's a guy that, you know, he's a stud. He'll immediately be competitive.
Jeff, you were an integral part of the XFC during the era of Joby Sanchez. This is a guy who was actually selected from an open tryout. I remember he was a highly touted prospect there. How is it to see him in the contender series, you know, on Tuesday night?
You know, to be honest with you, my take on the Contender Series is, I was excited about the Contender Series because I thought this was truly going to be an avenue for the up and comers. Like CJ Hamilton, guys like those guys that haven't gotten their shot yet. So I'm a little actually on the other side where I'm disappointed really with mixing in the guys who have so-called had their shot. They had made it to the UFC. They had been there. They didn't have the staying power. They couldn't keep their spot. So I'm a little against people like Joby, and that's nothing against the fighters. And I know that they put in the work just like everybody else, and they're climbing to get back. I just thought the Dana White series was going to be all about that, like trying to find a fighter, you know, the YouTube series he's got with Sarah. I thought it was going to be about the prospect, the up and comer, not the guys like Sanchez. And I think Daniel Spahn, who's I think on the next episode, guys that have been
fought in the UFC too.
Yeah. And so, you know, I'm glad Sanchez won, but I just thought it was going to be something else. And I would have liked to have seen it really be the no-name guy from, middle America, the Tri-Cities, wherever. I thought it was going to be that guy getting his moment and not the guys trying to get back.
Hey, I can dig it. I agree, actually, because, there's so many of them out there. I mean, there's so many untapped MMA fighters that will not get that opportunity and to have good records and are very exciting fighters that really this series is what it should be about them. But that said, I'm excited to have, fights in the middle of the week on Tuesdays when there's nothing else going on. That's always cool. You can bet on it.
It's like football, Yeah, it's college on Saturday, pros on Sunday. You throw in ESPN Thursday night, I'm happy. Wait, there's Monday night football. I'm excited about Tuesday night fights. Like I said, I would just be, I know at the end of the day, you got to do your job. All you got to do is win the fight, and if they want you, they want you. I've been there with fighters before trying to make it and not understanding why not me. But, I would be a little worried if I'm on the fight with – or the card with a Joby Sanchez or Spahn or somebody like that. And I'm thinking, do they have a leg up on me already? They've got a relationship with the UFC. They know these matchmakers, on a personal level and have their numbers. Are they going to get that look before me just because of that prior relationship? And I would be even Salmon. You said Salmon, was awarded one of the contracts. Well, Boston was a highly touted guy from RFA, managed by, Black House or trained at Black House and was managed by Ed. So even he being a prospect had that kind of, foot in the door. So to speak, everybody's been waiting on Boston to give them a reason, to sign him. I think that's the way I feel. And this was their reason. You won your contender fight. That's what we needed, and I think it was a guy they wanted in there and just needed that reason to get him in there.
Yeah, I can see it. It's interesting. Well, interesting insight. Another thing I like about kind of covering this series moving forward is it's going to be so many regional prospects that we know, and it's going to be kind of cool, you know, just to see how this all shakes out.
Yeah, undoubtedly. Now, not to be outdone by International Fight Week, our own region here in the Southeast, we had our own monumental event on Friday night. Of course, it was Strikefest. And what made this so special is that, of course, it included not only mixed martial arts, but also professional boxing and kickboxing. And it was in a ring. So for all of those nostalgia people, you know, for the back in the day with Pride and so forth, we got to see mixed martial arts inside a ring, and it was a lot of fun. I was there as the official agent of the event, and it really was something to behold. And I'm going to run down real quick some of the results of the event and get your take on it. Tim, I think you were able to watch most of it, not all of it, right?
Yeah, you know, I first off, you know, thank you for helping keep that thing organized. It was the first event that I've ever, I believe the first event I've ever put together or matched that I haven't been in attendance at. So we managed to pull things off from three time zones away. So, you know, go us, that's good. And, you know, I watched a good portion of it. It was the stream was a little bit choppy because of the building there, but I had gone back and watched you know, at least the finishes of most of the fights, and it looked like the action was good. You know, we got a little taste of everything, from the kickboxing to the MMA to the boxing, but from what I could tell, the kickboxing kind of stole the show.
It absolutely did. And like I said, we'll get on to that. I'm going to give a quick rundown of some of these results. The first mixed martial arts bout was a catch weight at 150 pounds. We saw Dylan Smith defeat Aaron Phillips by triangle choke round one. That was very interesting. We, with that match, we saw the first tie up in the ropes. Dylan Smith's underneath. He's trying to attack the triangle choke. Aaron Phillips is on top. Dylan's head is under the rope. Aaron Phillips goes over top, almost like the IVC, the original International Valley Tudo. We saw that there. We got to see it there at Strikefest. Very entertaining to watch. Of course, it did not prevent Dylan Smith from taking the submission, that triangle choke victory. So big win there. The second bout was a lightweight matchup at 155 pounds. We saw Jordan Nunnery taking on Dallas Smart. Dallas Smart gets the first round guillotine. Pretty good finish. We hadn't seen Dallas in action in a long time. He's back representing Bushido MMA. That was really, really fun to watch, and great to see him back in action. Then, you know, that rounded out the mixed martial arts. Starting off with the amateur Muay Thai, we saw Hannah Sheely defeat the Asian sensation Linda Gray in a three-round battle. Sheely looked spectacular. Followed up by a super lightweight matchup. In amateur Muay Thai, Cody Jordan defeats Imran Ahmed. On to another amateur Muay Thai bout. Catchweight at 195 pounds, Michael Shab Firmus defeats Anthony Silva by decision. And then one I want to kind of stop and talk about, because this one to me actually stole the show. Super heavyweight amateur Muay Thai bout. Gary Too Tall Paul defeats Alpha Dog Brock Walker by decision. Tim, I know you saw this one.
Yeah, that one was, from what I heard, was definitely the fight of the night. It sounded like it was a kind of a bloody war, and it was, you know, two guys of very different statures. You know, there was a huge height and reach advantage for Gary Too Tall Paul, which is such a great nickname, and Brock Walker, who had a major experience advantage. And so, you know, I felt like that kind of evened things out, I guess. You know, there's such a size discrepancy, but at the same time, Brock's had shit, you know, he's had 12, 15 fights, you know, versus Gary being his first. And it seemed to work out from what I can gather. Everybody loved that one.
Well, it was a split decision, and it was, as you mentioned, I mean, it was razor close. And the way I saw it, and those around me, I believe that Brock Walker, he took, if you're, you know, talking about outside striking, oddly enough, the shorter competitor really was the one that landed the most. It was the big overhand right, and he would follow it up with the left hook to the body. He landed a lot of body shots that really took its toll on Gary Paul, but once he closed the distance, once Gary Paul closed the distance, it was hard for Brock to do anything. Gary Paul essentially grabs Brock and holds him with his strength and starts to deliver those knees. And once he was there, you know, he took a lot of them. Brock took a lot of those. But ultimately, it's the way the judges saw it. They gave the advantage to Gary Paul with that control, but very, very exciting. Jeff, any words on this one?
You know, I didn't get a chance to watch the card. You know, I was definitely, like you talked about earlier, intrigued with the, you know, I went to a lot of the old Tough Enough in Vegas where they, when they still did the ring. And I always enjoy those. Those are fun to watch. They're so crowd friendly. Being closer, I do get a little jealous. I get to come to all the Valor fights, but all these other shows that you guys are involved with outside of Valor, it gets me a little jelly on the weekends when you guys get to go to those shows and I'm so far away. So I'm just now learning the results myself, hearing it right here tonight on the Valor Hour.
Well, man, all I have to say is you just take a stroll down there to BP, fill up that gas tank, and join us anytime you want to, man. You don't have to wait for an invitation. But that being said, let's move on. I waited on the last two bouts. Of course, those were the pro boxing. That was the main event and the co-main event. Of course, it was Josh Millwood taking on Charlie Watson in the co-main event. Charlie Watson, a guy who has been boxing for a majority of his life, had a couple of hundred amateur USA boxing matches. And he faced off against a pro debut in Josh Millwood, a seasoned mixed martial arts fighter. And ultimately, it was Millwood who was able to come away with the victory. Tim, talk about it.
You know, that was a fight that came together kind of late. And, man, I'll tell you first off, dealing with these boxers is a whole lot different than dealing with MMA fighters. It's hard. It's really hard. It's really hard to describe, honestly, until you have to do it. But there's a lot of procrastination. There's a lot of, you know, a lot of hand holding that has to happen at the last minute. And man, you know, there were some guys, you know, that just at the last minute just didn't get their shit together or just went straight off the grid. Damian Milton was supposed to fight Blayton Watson all the way up to weigh-ins and just completely went off the grid, just stopped answering messages or anything. And, you know, he had a signed contract and just didn't care, which was really crazy because, you know, we worked with Damian several times before and have never had an issue like that. So certainly disappointing. But, you know, for the ones that that did see their commitments through, it sounds like the fights were good and close and competitive. You know, we had two MMA fighters, two pro MMA fighters fighting against two seasoned boxers. And so, you know, Josh Millwood is a guy that I think is naturally quite a bit bigger than Charlie Watson, whereas Charlie Watson has infinite more experience than him in boxing. And from what I heard, it was really close. I think I heard that Charlie had an injury maybe that caused him to take a knee, which skewed the round to a 10-8. And from what I heard, it was really, really close. But
It was a split decision. So very, very close indeed.
And obviously, when it's that close, the, you know, the injury that forced him to take a knee had to have played the deciding factor.
Yeah, and well, you know, and moving on to the main event, it was Rico Ralston, another mixed martial arts fighter, seasoned mixed martial arts fighter, taking on Mike Thomas, who's also an MMA fighter. But if you know him, you know that he spent the better part of 20 years as an amateur boxer, and he's had a ton of matchups. And I remember watching him, you know, way back in the 90s, in action in boxing. But this was his professional boxing debut. Now, that was ruled a draw. And it was a battle. Now, with all that being said, you know, with all this talk with Conor McGregor and Mayweather, of course, that was the rage that, you know, of last night. Everybody watched the press conference and so forth. But this could be a way of possibly an argument to say that Conor at least maybe has a chance in hell here, because you're seeing these mixed martial arts fighters going and competing in boxing and actually holding their own. Now, this is a far cry from the world class, Floyd Mayweather, a guy who is considered by some to be the pound for pound greatest of all time. But it does say something about the mixed martial arts fighter and what they have to go through, the struggles and the training, and maybe that the training of a mixed martial arts fighter might equip them better than one may think to actually fight in one of these very strict, rule style sports as Western boxing is. And like I said, I'm not saying by any means that Conor McGregor is going to win or even that he has a real shot, but this may be a precursor to say that it could be a hell of a fight. What do you think, guys?
I think that, your comparison actually isn't that far off, because, those are world-class, elite, top-of-the-line athletes. But that said, both of these matchups were actually very similar, relatively speaking. Josh Millwood had not done any boxing, and you can probably give me his credentials better than I know them. But Charlie Watson, to my knowledge, was a very credentialed amateur boxing with probably well over 100 bouts and a pretty hyped prospect. And so, relatively speaking, these matches were kind of like a microcosm of that whole dynamic. So, man, you never know. I'm getting more and more excited. I hope McGregor can pull it off. I think every day I give a little more hope that maybe he can. It's probably all just delusion, but that's good. It makes me at least feel a little better about spending my $100.
Jeff Hobbs, what say you?
I don't know. It's one of those things. I try to keep it so simple, and I just tell myself, Ricky Hatton, Manny Pacquiao, Canelo Alvarez, they couldn't do it. So why in the world would Conor McGregor think he can do it when those guys couldn't? I don't think he stands a chance against Mayweather. But there's something about Conor McGregor that it wouldn't surprise me. I don't doubt the guy. If he's the type of guy that could wake up tomorrow, hold a press conference, and say he's going to do a professional tennis match, and you have to go, I bet he can pull it off. You just, anything the guy says he can do or he's going to do, as much as you want to bet the house against him and you want to say there's no way, there's something about the guy. You'll look somebody in the eye and say, there's no, hell will freeze over before he beats, Mayweather. And then you'll turn his head and go, but he might be able to, be able to. And he's an anomaly. It's crazy. Would have loved to see Conor McGregor. Remember when Shaq had the show Shaq versus, and he did every week a sporting event. Yeah. He's a pro. Conor McGregor would be great to do that, because he would probably 8 times out of 10 beat the professional at whatever sport it was.
Well, I will say this: the media hype has a way of melting the opponents of those that are christened. And what I mean by that is, look at Ronda Rousey and look at her streak. And opponents such as Sarah McMahon, who I think on paper should have the abilities to really give Ronda Rousey a run. But this is a fact. When everybody around you tells you you can't win. So in other words, you go into a fight and you believe in yourself, and then the UFC themselves say you can't win. Ronda Rousey says you can't win. All the reporters say you can't win. Then it takes a very strong individual mentally to go beyond that. And if you can do that, and that's why I think, and I think Conor McGregor is the same way. And he has this media machine behind him. It takes someone like a Nate Diaz who says, screw you, man. You can't tell me nothing. I know better than what everybody else is saying, and I'm the best fighter in the world. And he truly believes it. And I think that's what allowed him to overcome the hype machine of Conor McGregor that first time. And I think that this, you know, the case here, you know, Mayweather has always been under the microscope, but he's always been the one that's supposed to win. And he's got a guy who is utterly defiant in Conor McGregor and a hype machine that's actually saying, you know what, you're saying that he's an amateur. He doesn't even belong here. And if he gets into to Mayweather's head and Mayweather for 1 second misses a beat and catches that left, it could be all she wrote. And so to write him off 100% is irrational, and it's reckless if you're trying to bet a lot of money. I'll tell you that much. So I think that it really sets up, if what I'm saying is true, it sets up something great. If what I'm saying is all false, it's not going to matter because people are still going to pay their money so they can watch it. So yeah, very, very interesting there. Now, real quick before we move on to our Q&A segment, touching real quick on this weekend in fight, this upcoming week, we've got Bellator 181 from Oklahoma. We have Invicta 24, which we'll be touching on a little bit more later on. That's resonating from Kansas City. And then, of course, UFC Fight Night in Glasgow. That's Scotland, for those of you not aware. And that's going to be on Sunday, a really big star-studded weekend. What do you guys think?
Well, I think it's going to be, it's kind of one of those weekends where there's a lot of action. There's nothing that's like just overwhelmingly huge. You know, if you're the hardcore like us, you know, there's going to be plenty to keep us busy. But that said, there's not a whole lot of just must see, if you will. Also, CJ, of course, CJ Hamilton on the Contender Series this Tuesday. So, you know, we got two Valor alums that we'll be rooting for in Amy Coleman and CJ Hamilton on those events, of course. But, you know, other than that, it's kind of all, middle of the road fare.
What do you think?
For me, every card comes down to just one fight for me. There's one fight on every card that I want to see. Bellator, it's a Groven Salter. The UFC, it's 100% Cynthia and Joanna Calderwood. That to me is the fight on that card that I can't wait for. That's the only one I want to see is that female fight. I just want to see if the female version of, she might as well be a Diaz sister here. If Cynthia's got what it takes, she's stepping up big in competition each time she gets in, and they seem to be pushing her quick, and she's not getting a lot of rest. So I'm excited for that fight. John Salter's ties to Nashville and to the state of Tennessee with Sean Hammonds as his longtime jiu-jitsu coach, where he got his black belt, and how often he continues to come to Nashville to train. Can't wait for that. He's on a streak like no other, really, that really is flying under the radar, and people don't really look at his body of work and his record.
I think he's been training with Derek Brunson some, right? Hasn't he been out there?
He went out west, and he was out there with Koscheck for a while when he first left Tennessee. Then he's now on the East Coast. He was here recently, I guess within the last couple of weeks, doing some training again here. Just to visit and get with Sean, and so his ties here are huge in Nashville. So we're always watching John and rooting for him no matter what he's doing. So it's going to be interesting. That's going to be a great. I think that should have probably been the main event on that card as opposed to the co-main event. I've never been a real big fan or understood Bellator's method to their madness on their lineups when it comes to fight night. What's on the prelims ends up on the main card. What's on the prelims, sometimes will happen after the main event. It seems like they do a lot of switching around, and I definitely probably would have put that as the main event as opposed to a catchweight main event.
Yeah, well, I think it's going to be great. And again, mentioning John Salter, that's a guy that really has put in the work for a lot of years, and that, you know, like you said, has flown under the radar. And really, it's great to see him showcase like this. So definitely be watching for him for sure. Now, that does it for national news. But before we speak with our first guest, it's time for our weekly Q&A segment. Tim, are you ready for it?
I'm ready.
All right. Well, question number one, this came directly from the listeners. Number one, how surprised were you to see Jamie Pickett fall short Tuesday night? And will you be seeing him next weekend? You know what I'm talking about.
I was actually really surprised. You know, I bet on Jamie there. He was, the line was set really close. I think he closed it like a plus 120 underdog. So that's essentially even. And I thought he was the more had the better skill set of the two. But, you know, he took it on really short notice, had a tough weight cut. And ultimately, he went out on his shield. He never tapped, I don't think. But with 5 seconds to go, he ended up going out and, wasn't able to get that win. But hopefully they will give him more opportunities. He stepped up on short notice for them to save that fight. To answer your question, no, he will not be fighting next weekend against Doug Usher at the Conflict and Valor show in Rome. He is suspended for 45 days, unfortunately.
Oh, wow. Well, very, very disappointing. But, you know, what can you say about about an opportunity like that? It was really good, and it was good to see Jamie Pickett in action, win, lose, or draw. Question number two, who are some other fighters in the region that you'd like to see get a shot in the Contender Series?
Oh, man, there's so many. You know, I think Slick Nick Gertz would be a good one. I think Demir Frotbegovic, Jonathan Pierce, those are all guys that Sid Wheeler, you know, that's another good one. Lindsey Jones, there's so many that are so good. But, you know, those are some of the ones that I think could immediately stand out and, you know, make an impact. And Dylan Calla, that's another good one.
Yeah, absolutely. Question number three. Do you like this new series more than The Ultimate Fighter?
I do, actually, because The Ultimate Fighter, I feel like, I mean, I dig it. It's good and all, but it's already happened, you know, whereas, you know, live fights every week on a Tuesday is awesome, you know, and again, you can bet on it.
All right. Question number four. Have you gotten a sense that fighters on this upcoming co-promoted card are going to be extra excited to represent their state / home fighting organization on this card?
I guess kind of yes and no. It's kind of weird because this one hasn't really shaken out like the Border Wars show we did with Jimbo and Warrior. Just the matchups haven't really shaken out like that. It's still an awesome card. I mean, it's really stacked up. But that said, there are a few that are kind of, you know, straight up Conflict versus Valor fights, but not as many as there were in Kentucky. There's more fights where it's kind of like, you know, a showcase fight for each organization. So fans are going to kind of get a taste of the best of both worlds and then a taste of them going against each other. So it's, you know, I do think guys are the ones that are in their in those matches are excited to kind of rep their promotion in their state. But more than anything, I think everyone's just excited to go out there and put on a good show and a really cool venue in a town that hasn't had MMA in a few years.
Right. So what you're saying is more of a collaboration than it is a battle between.
Yeah. Two. Yeah. That's really kind of how it shook out, you know, I mean, and we're still really happy with the card, but there's just so many guys that have fought for both organizations multiple times or guys that have only fought for one or the other and fighting against another of the same from the same ilk. So, yeah, it's just kind of how this one shook out. But it's still, you know, it's loaded. There's no bullshit on there.
Yeah, well, in that same line of thinking, question number five, would you like to host some of Conflict MMA's best at home in Tennessee in the near future?
Of course, yeah. That would always be an option, you know, and that's something that I'm sure that we'll look at doing in the future, just the same as we are planning to do with Warrior FC out of Kentucky. And, you know, maybe there'll be a time when we can all three work together and have all three promotions in the mix and, you know, just as we kind of expand our – our scope. You never know what kind of possibilities are out there.
Undoubtedly, that would be absolutely amazing. Now, that rounds out this week's Q&A segment. Thanks for your insight, as always, Tim. And listeners, remember, email us your questions each week, and Valor Fights President Tim Loy will address them. But now, without further ado, it's on to the interviews. We are joined by CJ Hamilton. He is an 11-4 professional MMA fighter and the current Valor Fights flyweight champ. He prepares to make his debut on the Contender Series this Tuesday night. That is live on UFC Fight Pass. CJ, so great to have you with us tonight.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me.
We're really excited, man. You know, coming up on this big opportunity, you've got just less than a week away now. Sorry, I'm trying to get my voice back from Vegas. It's rough action here, but you know, you'll be in Vegas, you know, here real soon. And this is a big opportunity here on Dana White's Tuesday Night Contenders series. We just saw the first one last night. Did you tune in and check it out? Kind of see what it's all going to be about.
I caught the end. I think the last three fights, but I went back and watched the first two. I mean, it's pretty cool how they have it laid out and everything. So I really enjoyed the Snoop cast. That's hilarious to me. But it's cool, man. Just watching it and seeing how they have everything set up. I mean, I like it. I'm excited.
Well, CJ, you've been around for a long time. I mean, up and down the roads here in the regional scene. Of course, we know you very well at Valor Fights. I was there calling the action when you won the flyweight championship. LFA, you've always, you know, been there as part of the LFA here in the Southeast. But man, the Contender Series is a whole other beast. And really, like we were saying, we don't know a whole lot about it yet. You know, we know that Dana White's there, and that's a big deal. What is your take on, well, firstly, what did it feel like when you got the call? And then what is your take on being part of this thing?
We were actually trying to get a fight with Roberto Sanchez for the LFA flyweight title at the time. And he wasn't trying to take that fight. So me and my trainer Chuck, we thought we were going to be sitting on the shelf for a little bit. And my manager, Oren Hodak at Knockout Management, Knockout Representation, excuse me. We were just sitting there searching and, you know, found a couple fights, but we wanted something bigger than my last fight. And I was in the middle of training and he was like, guess what? We're going to Vegas, baby. We're doing it big. And I was like, what are you talking about? And then he sent me the link and I was like, holy crap. All right. So I knew, I fought Jesse Buzzi in April. I knew like mid-June about it. Late May, early June. So, you know, they told me I couldn't say anything about it yet or anything until the UFC said anything. So it was kind of hard trying to keep that from, you know, my friends and family. But, you know, I like it. Like I said, it's going to be cool, man, because, like you said, having Dana White there and, you know, Sean Shelby, McMaynard, all those guys, and just you know, going in there and putting on a show and fighting for that contract, as you saw last night. You know, they only signed two guys. So if you're just fighting to win, you know, I don't think that's what Dana's looking for. Dana's looking for guys that goes out there and puts it all out on the line. And, I mean, I feel like I do that very well in every outing that I've had. So I couldn't be more excited about it, man. It's about time, but, you know, these things take time, so I'm pretty excited, though.
But I can say from experience, you're not an easy guy to match, you know. You're a guy that, we scoped the galaxy looking for guys that are willing to step up and fight you, and you've pretty much cleared out the Southeast. There's no one left to fight in the Southeast, so, you know, it's been a long time coming. I will agree, you know, you're definitely deserving of the opportunity. And, you know, tell us about your opponent. What, you know, Casey Kinney, I know he's from the Arizona area, not a familiar name to us out here, but definitely a talented guy. From what I've seen, he's definitely skilled, but he hasn't fought anyone near your level yet.
No, every person that I've fought, me and Chuck do this every time. I mean, every fight the biggest fight of your life. I mean, that's how we look at it as Casey. Casey's tough. Casey, you know, he throws some things that, you know, nothing that I've never seen before, but I never count anybody out. But at the same time, you know, we're concerned but not worried. And, I mean, the only person that's going to be able to keep me out of the UFC is Dana himself. So he's not the guy that's going to keep me out. But, I mean, he's tough. But like you said before, he's never fought anybody at the caliber that I'm at. So, and this is a perfect time. Like, and plus, like, you know, I've been around. But I really, if you really look at my fight career, I've only been fighting for about 4 years. So, you know, I'm still, and I'm 30, so I'm still young in the fight game. I don't have the wear and tear that some of these guys have that are in the UFC that have been fighting for 8 to 10 plus years. So, you know, it's perfect timing for me. But like I said, Casey's tough. He's from Tucson, Arizona. I think he trains with Chris Carriasso. I don't know if you guys are familiar with him listening, but Chris Carriasso, he's fought Demetrius Johnson. So, you know, he has some good training partners there, but, you know, he's not going in there with his training partners. He's going in there by himself. So, you know, next week, you know, the first fight is that weigh-in Monday. Once I get that first fight out of the way, Tuesday is going to be so much fun. So, like I said before, I'm excited.
Let's talk a little bit about being a flyweight. You know, we've discussed this before. There, of course, the Demetrius Johnson, there was a lot of controversy around him and, of course, his dispute with the UFC. You know, being one of the top flyweights in the nation and potentially the world, how is it? You sort of, if you're a flyweight, they're looking for flyweights. You have great opportunities because there are, simply put, less of you. But at the same time, there is a lot of pressure on you to be exciting, to knock people out, do the things that you do. And that, I think that's one reason I think you're going to really thrive. But talk about being a flyweight and some of the advantages and the adversity as well.
Well, some of the advantages are, I mean, it's as far as getting into the UFC. If you think about it like this, look at the 55-pound weight class, and look at the from 55 on up. It's extremely hard to get in the UFC because there's so many guys there. That roster is stacked. So you know it has its advantages as far as that, but at the same time, you know. You know, Sean Shelby and those guys, sometimes they don't look to fill up the 125 roster just because everybody wants to see bigger guys. Everybody wants to see exciting fights with bigger guys, whether it's heavyweight slinging leather or, you know, middleweight, welterweight, everybody likes to see big guys fight. But, you know, and that's one of the disadvantages. But, you know, my thing is this, you know, I'm not going to say it's easy to get there, but once you get there, do you plan on staying there? Because there are a lot of people, not just flyweights, but there's a lot of weight classes, people in weight classes that get to the big show and that's it. They just want to get to the big show. When I get there, I'm going to stay there and I'm going to dominate. I'm going to leave a legacy behind. I'm not just fighting just to get on the big show, just to say I'm in the UFC, because I think that's what a lot of people are doing right now. Whereas, like with me, I'm going to get there and I'm going to stay there. That's the task. And, you know, with flyweights, especially with Demetrius Johnson and all that stuff going on, you know, who really knows the real story? I mean, you know, it doesn't really affect me personally, except for my weight class. But, you know, all I can do is worry about what I do and when I get there and keeping the eyes on me. So, and you know, that's just how it is.
Well, real quick, CJ, give some shout outs where they are due. Of course, your training partners, your coaches and so forth, as well as all of your social media plugs where we can find you, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter and so forth.
Okay. Of course. First of all, I'd like to give a shout out to my gym, Contemporary Martial Arts, Hartwell, Georgia. My coach, Chuck Coffin, Jim Robinson, Mark Miles, I would like to give a shout out to my affiliate gyms, the Straight Blast Gym, Adam and Roy Singer, and all my training partners there, as well as Revolution Mixed Martial Arts, Jimmy Fowler. I go up there and train some as well. Justin Scoggins, Jared Scoggins, Brandon the Kid Webb, Tim Curtin, and my manager, Oren Hodak, KO Reps. They're awesome, best management in the game right now. They're killing it. Give a shout out to a couple sponsors, Venom, Zag Headphones, Body Fortress, Tri-Bubble App, as well as Dethrone, and Northeast Georgia Pools, Falk Investment Banks, and everybody else that's been a part of this ride, man. This is for y'all, and y'all can catch me on Instagram, CJizzle, CEEJIZZLE 125. And you can find me on Facebook, Dozier Hamilton, DOZIER Hamilton. And on Twitter, just the same thing as my Instagram handle, CJizzle 125. And I look forward to seeing y'all and talking to y'all soon. Tim, sorry, man. I wanted to be the best flyweight in Valor history. I wanted to defend my title at least 10 times, but things happen, man. And we were trying, man, because I, you know what, man, Chuck, we talked about, I was like, Chuck, man, I got a belt in Georgia and I got a belt in Tennessee. I don't feel like the champ. I'm just holding the belt. You're not the champ until you defend it. That's how I look at it.
Hey, man, if there's no takers, then there's no doubt that you're the undisputed. In my eyes, you're there without a doubt, the top pro flyweight in our region in the Southeast. And you know, if you can't get anybody to step to you, then, you know, to me, you're still the champ.
Exactly. And I mean, it's cool, and I'm glad you understand that. And you know, David Obloss as well, he started, that's where I started my pro career at. And I mean, we were trying to find people, but you know, they were coming up with like 3-0, 2-0. I was like, what is that gonna do for me except for get my dog some steaks, man? Like, I'm not about that. Like, I need to get paid. So, but I appreciate y'all, Casey Oxenine. You're awesome. Everybody at Valor, you know, you guys have been behind me. And see you guys next. Tune in next Tuesday, UFC Fight Pass. If you don't have it, get it. You get it free for 7 days. So there should be no excuse. So tune in and let's make this happen. Let's watch me do my thing.
Like he said, CJ Hamilton makes his Contenders Series debut this Tuesday night, and that is live on UFC Fight Pass. CJ, thank you so much for joining us, and good luck.
Yes, sir. Appreciate it.
Amy Coleman is a 2-1 professional mixed martial arts fighter and a pioneer of Tennessee WMMA. She faces Felicia Spencer this Saturday night. That's July 15th at Invicta 24. And she joins us here tonight on the Valor Hour. Amy, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, of course, guys. Wouldn't miss it.
Yeah, we're excited for this fight this weekend. You know, your second fight with Invicta, and you kind of got the nerves out of your way for your debut. Talk a little bit about you know, the experience the first time. You know, going through a lot more media and photo shoots and just a lot more, you know, bullshit essentially involved with fight week compared to what you're used to fighting at home. You know, did that give you any, you know, more pre-fight jitters, or was it a welcome distraction? You know, how was that for you?
You know, I don't think it made me more nervous. It was just a lot more, I didn't want to let the organization down or let you guys down as a representation of you. So I kind of try to make sure, like, I put media and all of those obligations and stuff like that as a priority, which turned out okay. I don't think that really determined the outcome of the fight. But it definitely did add a little stress to fight week. So I was a little bit more prepared on what to expect this time. I made sure to get here early, so I knew I had time to chill before rushing through all the media stuff, doing all the check-ins and all the stuff that we have to go through this week.
So let's, for all of the listeners that have never met you or come across you before or don't know who you are, you know, let's start back at the beginning. Of course, everyone knew you as a judo standout, judo black belt. You could throw people and plant people. And of course, you're a phenomenal athlete. But over the past few years, you've become so much more. Of course, training there at Shield Systems, your striking has improved, so forth. Talk about how you got into mixed martial arts and, of course, your camp and your training and your evolution.
Okay, I started in Taekwondo and in Judo growing up through the years. So those are what I heavily competed in from a super young age. So I was very versed in both of those. But I didn't start MMA until 2010. When head coach Ben Harrison moved his program into the gym that I was working at. And I decided to try class one night. I had been working late, so I couldn't make judo practice. I tried out class and I kind of never looked back. So ever since then, I think it was a couple months later and he was at a fight with Scott Holtzman and they were texting me back and forth and they were like, "Hey, what do you think about fighting?" And I think I fought for you guys like 2 months later.
No doubt that I feel like, you know, I've said it to a lot of people. You, in my eyes, you're the top, you know, female in the entire Southeast. I've always been kind of in awe of you, honestly. And I feel like, you know, that's reflected in our inability to match you a lot of the times. You're one of the hardest people I've ever had the pleasure of matching because, you know, girls just really once they you know, watch video and see you, they see you're just such a physical force, and most ladies don't want to do that. And even the top girls that have had opportunities to do that have always had kind of excuses or reasons not to do it, you know? So, you know, I feel like, you're the very best female representation that we could have, you know, moving, forward into a big league like Invicta there. So we're certainly always, you know, in your corner and rooting hard for you. What do you think about, this particular matchup with Felicia Spencer? She's another, you know, a big fighter, you know, at 145. And also, like, what do you think about fighting at 45 versus 35? Are you noticing, you know, a big difference in size versus 35, or do you just feel, you know, a lot stronger not having to put your body through that weight cut?
Yeah, I feel a lot stronger not having to put my body through that. It's the difference is incredible. You know, I feel by the time the fight comes around, I'll feel totally re-energized, rehydrated. You know, I've got all my muscles back, like everything's good to go. Whereas 35, that was kind of hard to do in a day. As far as Felicia goes, you know, she's kind of relentless when you watch her. You know, she's a forward pusher. She's not going to stop until the last bell rings, and that's fine with me. You know, I feel like, you know, she's going to be hurting if she beats me this time. After my last fight, you know, experiencing that liver shot for the first time, I kind of had to buckle down in my camp and be like, all right, you know, am I going to let something like that stop me again? Or are they going to actually have to put me down, you know, knock me out or something more devastating. And, you know, she might have the tools to do it, but we'll see, because I feel like an animal this time. I feel like, you know, everybody has seen me, like you guys said before, as like a judoka, and then you kind of have gradually seen my striking, but I have so many more levels that I didn't even realize I was capable of, that it's kind of cool to see it kind of all coming to fruition at the end of this fight camp. This is the best I've ever felt, which sounds very cliche, but this is honestly the best I've ever felt going into a camp. Training has been great. I'm injury free. I'm, knock on wood, I know I have like 2 days, right? But I feel awesome going into this fight. And, you know, I don't believe that she has what it's going to take to stop me.
Well, as I mentioned, we have a man that you know very well, Jeff Hobbs. He's here with us guest hosting. Jeff, any words for Amy here tonight?
You know, nothing. She hasn't heard from me already. You know, Amy's a complete pleasure to work with. You know, I was just looking at, I work for Amy. She's so easy to get along with and work with. You know, I just think one of the things, like me and you have talked before, Casey, when it comes to Amy, you know, in the past, you know, we've heard her, you know, considered one of, you know, the pioneers in female mixed martial arts in Tennessee. And I kind of don't even like, I don't like that, because I think Amy is the female pioneer in Tennessee mixed martial arts. You know, she was really hot at a time where a lot of girls were hot. You know, you had so many girls at the time when she was finishing out her amateur career. But Amy's the one out of the entire group that has had the staying power, that's still moving forward, that's still she's not online having to beg for fights. She's not somebody where everybody's going, where are they now kind of thing. You know, and I think that's what separates her from the rest of the females that have come through, especially that large group, you know, a few years back, you know, between every weekend it was, you know, Shanna, or, you know, Milanowski, the girls like that. There was a lot of girls fighting at that time, and all of them at some point wanted to fight each other, you know, and it was a matter of like, who's going to make it first out of that group. And, you know, regardless of whether she had, you know, a loss in her Invicta debut, you know, she wasn't a loss where next thing you know, they're being allowed to search for fights elsewhere, or you're having to beg to get on the next card. You know, they were quick to, when she was ready and said, I'm ready to fight, you know, they were quick to put her on the next card, the very next card. And there was no hesitation. And it's because of the way she carries herself. How humble she is, the class that she carries herself with, how professional she is. You know, she's not into the bullshit. You know, she's not a social media drama queen. She's all business. And I think that's what they like working with. And that's why I work with Amy, is because I only like work. I don't work with a lot of people. You know, over the years, you guys know I'm real particular about who I do anything with. And I just want to work with people that inspire me. And she does, you know. I love the way she handles her life in general. And it's a pleasure for me to do anything with her. I'm always thankful that people like Amy allow me to come along for their ride, you know, so to speak, and get to witness it from the best seat in the house.
Amy, for aspiring WMMA talent out there, in our listening world, what suggestions would you give to them, you know, if they're looking to take that next step, you know, eventually aspire to be in Invicta, the UFC, and so forth? You know, Jeff just threw out a lot of things there that set you apart. What would you tell those young women?
You know, I would tell, number one is to go for it. It's not easy coming up as a girl in the sport. It's a very male-dominated sport, so there's a lot of backlash. There's a lot of, you know, it's a lot of tough days at the gym. But, you know, you just got to go for it and not let anybody tell you can't. However, that being said, you have to be honest with who you are, okay? So if you're at a gym full of dudes who are taking it easy on you, and then you get in the cage and get hit one time and you have that, like, what am I doing in here moment, then someone's not being honest with you, and that starts with you yourself. You have to be able to keep yourself in check. And that's the biggest thing. You know, everybody goes through highs and lows in training, guys or girls. But, you know, I think as girls, you have to keep yourself in check. If you're a monster on the mat and, you know, in the cage, that's one thing, but like in the training room, you know, you need to be getting pushed. So if you don't have people that are willing to do that because you're female, then you need to kind of step back and be like, wait a minute, what's going on here? Why am I not, you know, able to climb the ranks or whatever, even getting in the cage for the first time? You know, you have to be totally honest with yourself. You have to be able to do that. You have to be able to step back and look and see where you are, see the type of competition that you can provide and what you can handle, you know, so that you don't get in there and then you're just another girl who shouldn't be fighting or whatever. You know, it's not easy coming up in this. So, you know, being able to actually self-assess or have a team that will self-assess with you is really, really something that is invaluable. I mean, my team, I don't have any easy rounds. You know, I have rounds of Steven Stevens and Dahmer and Scott, and they're not going to be easy rounds. And yeah, some days those days suck, but that's what has made me the fighter that I am today. The fact that I have a team that will humble me when I need to be humbled, will show me exactly where I need to be. But I'm going to be that much, you know, better for it when I step into the cage.
Very well put. Now, real quick, Amy, if you would give all of your shout outs, of course, your team, your training partners and so forth, but also your social media plugs, where we can find you, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and so forth.
All right. All my social medias are Amy Coleman MMA. So it's pretty easy to find me. My fan page on Facebook is Amy Donkey Kong Coleman. We have a huge shout out to my team, Shield Systems, my head coach, Ben Harrison. He's, you know, molded me into the fighter I am today, and we keep growing, even though he's been my coach now for 7 years. So it's we keep getting better, and you know, I hope you guys get to see that in this fight. My sponsors, Ogle Elrod and Baril, Fulgham and McIndoe, Doug Hathaway, they've all been huge supports over my entire fighting career. Of course, my manager, Jeff, he's amazing. I come to him with some pretty weird questions at pretty weird times, so he's always been patient with me. My husband, Matt, without him, I don't even know how I would stay grounded. So it's I have a pretty great support system. Of course, you guys have always been supportive, and that's, you know, that's really important to me to keep to my roots too. You know, I want to be somebody that can help kind of guide the next generation of amateur level female fighters or just fighters in general. So being a part of this community is just amazing. And I hope you guys enjoy Saturday night.
Amy Coleman returns to Invicta FC this Saturday night, July 15th. That's Invicta 24. Amy, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
Dustin Dyer is a professional mixed martial arts fighter and a longtime staple heavyweight here in the Southeast. He returns to action July 22nd at Valor Fights versus Conflict MMA when worlds collide. And he's coming off a 3-year layoff as he does it. Dustin, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Man, it's great to see you back on a card. You're a guy, when you talked about heavyweight mixed martial arts action, at least with Valor Fights, Dustin Dyer was always in the mix, one of the most successful amateurs that we've ever had. And you return. You're returning. How does it feel to be back in action?
I have to be honest with you, as far as being back in action, it's kind of surreal. It just kind of all happened in a whim. I know I've been talking to Tim a few times, asking, I guess, when something local as far as to Chattanooga or Rome was, or not Rome, just popped out of nowhere, but coming to Chattanooga or somewhere. And just so happened, Tim said, hey, we're coming to Rome. And I was like, well, shoot. I'm running a store in Rome, and I go to Rome every day. So, hey, get me on that card. So there you go. And next thing you know, contract got signed and training started happening. And that's pretty much what happened, man.
Well, Casey kind of hit the nail on the head. If there's anybody that's kind of like gone back through like all the, I was going to say decades. It feels like decades. Let's just say years. Through all the years, you know, through all the different, apparitions of this promotion, be it through the 3FC or even the X series, all of its various forms, Dustin Dyer has been there. And so it's really kind of fitting as we go into this one for him to be, you know, repping Valor in this show and his comeback fight against a guy on Sam Promeny who's much the same with Conflict, you know?
Yeah, like I say, it's been a long 2.5 years, actually, almost 3, but yeah, it's pretty exciting. So,
well, what do you think about this man?
I was going to say, Dustin's been in some of the more memorable fights that we've had, you know, from, you know, the series with Stephen Flanagan, you know, to, you know, some crazy fights with Sam Burns. You know, there's been just some of those fights that as you go in through, you know, no doubt his formative years, but as well the promotion's formative years, just the some of those staple fights that you always think back on. So that's really kind of a cool thing. And you know, talk a little bit about your training for this one. Is it any different than, you know, are you still with the highest end group as always? Have you branched out some and looked into some other gyms, or you know, how's training been?
For this one's been a little different, just since the fact I work in Rome and then have to drive to Dalton. That's been kind of different. But, yeah, I still go with the highest end guys. You know, Nalo has been awesome about it as far as, you know, helping me with the game plan and giving me some hard training. Also, I've branched out to Patriot MMA. And Jonathan Benny, one of the guys who's there, he's also fighting on this card. And also, what's crazy, I started working with a guy. He was my very first MMA fight. I actually fought him in the Forum at Rome. I didn't realize he was as good of a boxer, but he's a professional boxer, and I've been working with him a little bit as far as timing, things like that. So, yeah, branching out a little bit, but Hayston's still, honestly, where I'm going to call home.
talk about a little bit about your opponent, Sam Promney. As Tim mentioned, he is one of those guys with Conflict MMA that has been there from the start. And he is known for his striking prowess, particularly, you know, how do you size this guy up? What do you think you're going to need to do to take him out? What is your take?
As far as Sam goes, watch his fights, and yeah, he's got some really, really fast hands. You know, he's a lot like me, a very unassuming guy, but he'll put the pop on you and move around. The biggest thing, you know, it's funny, you know, I first met Sam, I was like, oh man, this guy's pretty good as far as the striking. He actually helped mitts for me one time at I did a XFC tryout when XFC was a thing. He helped mitts for me, so I doubt he remembers me, but it's weird how I remember stuff. But as far as, you know, trying to get with him, the biggest thing I've watched in his fights, man, is he's really fought guys, which I know I don't look like I belong in there either just due to body types, but he's fought guys who honestly just don't look like they belong in there and just demolished them. So my thing is, you know, wear him out. You know, I believe I'm a lot mentally tougher and tougher than the guys he's fought other than Gibson Thaw. And, well, I mean, you look at Gibson Thaw and he's an animal anyways. He's grappled some of the best and just nasty. So biggest thing is just, you know, put the pressure on him and not be a pushover.
We've got Jeff Hobbs here with us. Jeff, you're kind of lurking in the shadows here.
Yeah, I'm just kind of listening.
Yeah, but, I know you know both curious. Of these guys. Absolutely. Any words for Dustin?
I was really curious with Dustin. You know, how did this fight come about? I know you had a long layoff, and was it something where it was the offer that came to you that got you wanting to get back in the cage, or was it something where you just have recently had an itch and the timing was just perfect when you found out this card was, you know, coming about? How did this fight actually come about? Was it them seeking you out, or did you just finally, you'd been away long enough and you got that itch? I mean, have you been keeping up with the Valor shows and did you see some fights here recently or over this 2.5 years that just kind of got your juices flowing, or you seen some guys in there you wanted a piece of? How did the comeback come around?
To be honest, the itch has always been there. You know, the thing is fighting is a selfish sport. I mean, as far as training and everything. So I'd got married after my pro debut. Then we wound up having the kid right off the rip, honeymoon babies, things like that. And I didn't want to leave, you know, my son with just my wife all the time because it's selfish. But yes, I've kept up with it. Looking at all the guys, you know, you see Billy Swanson, you see, you know, Ben Rowland, some other guys that I've seen. How it came about, honestly, is like I said earlier, man, I just aggravated Tim a good bit asking when something local was coming for me instead of, you know, typically up in Gatlinburg, Pigeon Forge. Asking if something was coming to Chattanooga or nearer. And he's told me a few then, and the next thing you know, he told me Rome. And I was like, well, okay, Rome, here it is. Sam wasn't my original opponent that they offered me. They offered me a guy who I really would have liked to fight even a lot more, just due to the fact that, you know, I've got some, it's because bad blood issues on that just due to, I just don't like the guy, but he went AWOL. So next thing you know, nobody knows where he went. So we got offered Sam, and I've never really been that guy to turn a fight down. Because that's what we signed up to do is fight. Everybody's always wanting to pick and choose who they fight, but that's one thing. And Tim can vouch for it. I'm not one to turn a fight down. I mean, anytime he's asked me to fight, let's fight. So that's what happened. Juices got flowing. And then they said, we're coming to Rome, Georgia. I was like, all right, let's do it. Sign me up.
So in other words, what you're saying is, when in Rome.
Exactly.
Yeah. real quick, Dustin, if you would give all of your shout outs and your love, of course, to training partners and coaches and so forth, as well as your social media plugs. We've not seen you a while. And since then, of course, Facebook, Twitter and Instagram is really taking off. So we need to know where to find you and how we can follow you.
Yeah, I want to give a shout out to, you know, North Georgia Hayston, Nala Lachuga, those guys, all my training partners, the Lewis brothers, those guys, man, just moving, trying to keep me on my feet. And I got to, they're fast, so I've got to be just as fast as they are. The guys at the Patriot MMA, I'm sponsored at Just Hard Apparel, Quantal Lankford, he's always been just great to me. As far as social media goes, you can find me on Facebook. There's a Dustin D. Train Dyer page. I think on Instagram, it's D. Train MMA. And Twitter, I think it's D. Train MMA as well. I don't tweet a whole lot. I'm more of a Facebook and Instagram guy. So that's pretty much where you'll find me.
Dustin's still got a MySpace, I think, right?
Possibly, but I don't know how to log into that, man.
Very cool. Dustin Dyer returns to action July 22nd when it's Valor Fights versus Conflict MMA when Worlds Collide. You can check that out live on Flow Combat. And, of course, tickets are available now. Dustin, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Lindsey Jones is a 2-0 professional MMA fighter and a contracted Valor Fights competitor. He will be back in action July 22nd at Valor Fights versus Conflict MMA when Worlds Collide, where he represents Valor Fights. Lindsey, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here and listening here.
Man, we're really excited for this one. We're creeping our way a little closer down to where you're from. You know, down in Georgia. This will be our first time that we've done anything in Georgia. So we knew we had to when we decided to do this thing. We knew we had to have Sweet Tea on board for this thing. Are you excited excited to be fighting in Rome?
Dude, I'm pumped. I mean, I haven't fought this close to home in a while. And it's super exciting to be back in Georgia and have hopefully a good bit of fans come out and show their support.
What do you think about the matchup? You know, Jason Wolf's a guy with quite a few amateur fights. You know, he's the last time he fought, I believe, was for us. And I don't think he had any fights after that, but he fought for our lightweight amateur title. It's been a year or so ago now, but, you know, he was a big lightweight, and, you know, this fight is at welterweight, of course, but, you know, he was a noticeably big lightweight, so I don't think he's going to be necessarily really small at welterweight. What do you think about the matchup? You know, he's a guy that I think will probably be willing to stand and trade with you.
Yeah, you know, I watched his last fight, and pretty much the whole thing was on the feet. He doesn't, you know, he's 35, he's not as explosive as I am, and he's not as fast. But he definitely looked like he was a well-built individual who is probably pretty strong, you know, so I'm going to stay away from that. And, man, I think it's a good matchup for me. He hasn't been that active in the past couple of years. On the flip side, I've been very active, and I've been constantly training.
Well,
go ahead. I was going to say, you know, what kind of, you know, you're one of those guys that just kind of every time I see you get there's you're just like more and more impressive. And one of those prospects that I really think is kind of got that it factor to go all the way. What have you added to your game since last time we saw you, which was at Valor 42 back in April? First round destruction of Jeff Powell. Very, very impressive. And, you know, are we going to see any, you know, have you added anything new since then? Or are there any new wrinkles?
I mean, I'm always adding new things. You know, every day is hopefully, you know, 1% better and always looking for the improvements. But this camp in particular, I've been working a lot of striking with the striking coaches down here. And, you know, overall, just trying to become better on the feet, more comfortable, where we can tie the whole MMA game together.
And of course, you're there at American Top Team there in Florida with the, you know, the mothership, if you will. But on this card, you're going to be having several former teammates from Rush MMA. And, you know, it's got to be cool to get to fight alongside, you know, 2, 3, 4 other guys that'll be friendly faces.
Yeah, you know, it's always nice fighting on a card with your friends and especially teammates. You know, sometimes it almost feels like it's lonely when you're the only guy from your team and the only guy you know fighting on the card. So it's a little comfort feeling. I have friends fighting on the card and, you know, in the back and the day of weigh-ins and the day of the fight, it's a real relaxed feeling. So it's good, and I'm excited to see them put on a show. I have a young stud back home who I think is fighting for the 35 belt or the 25 amateur belt. So I'm excited to see him put on a show as well.
Chase Batwell, I assume.
That is him.
Yeah, man, he's Chase Batwell is his star shining bright, man. He's tearing it up here.
He is, and I heard he made what was it the U.S. team, and they're to go to the Middle East or somewhere here later in the year. So he's doing well for himself right now, and I'm super pumped for that kid.
Of course, being from American Top Team, training there full time. Of course, last time we spoke to you, you kind of gave us some insight into your training. You mentioned Will Brooks. I think Thiago Alves, I believe, that you mentioned.
That is correct.
You know, talk about some of the training partners you're working with for this camp. Is it the usual suspects, or we got a new lineup of faces that you have in front of you right now?
It's the usual suspects again. You know, I'm always training with Will Brooks. I'm always training with Pitbull. And, of course, you know, down here, there's an army of fighters. There's so many guys. And I'm working with other guys as well. But the past 5 weeks has really been Pitbull and Will Brooks. Those have been my main training partners. And when you have those guys in the room with you, you have no other option to push it to your limits. And you have to really improve, because if you don't improve and you don't work hard with those guys in the room, you're going to get run out of the room. So I'm always getting the good work in with those two guys.
Jeff, I'm going to let you weigh in a little bit. Your first time being able to speak with Lindsey Jones on the Valor Hour here.
Yeah, absolutely. It's nice to finally get to talk to you, Lindsey. You know, I haven't got a chance to really get to know you well. My first exposure to you was, of course, the David Cash fight in Nashville. That's where I'm from. That's where I live. You know, to be 100% honest with you, Lindsey, you know, didn't feel like I could really critique or have an opinion on you with the Cash fight. But, you know, you really showed me a lot in the Jeff Powell fight. And I really felt like, okay, this is why Tim signed you. To me, you're kind of like one of those, you know, one of those coup kind of things where Valor has scooped in and pulled one over on everybody on signing this guy. You seem to me like the total package right now. You come from a great gym. Obviously you keep yourself in phenomenal shape. You've got the look, you're good on the microphone. I think this was another stellar signing by Valor. I think they saw something early on, and was a really smart business move to swoop in and pick you up. You know, like I said, kind of doing research on you. What I want to talk about or go back to is, you know, 2013, what is it, September of 2013, Wild Bills, you know, Elijah Winter, you started out your career. And I think this is great when you look at somebody's record, you started out your MMA career with a loss.
And then you've
ripped off, you know, 6-7 straight wins going pro. What did that loss do for you? How are you different now? Obviously you're much more skilled, but you know, the sweet tea now compared to the sweet tea then, what's changed? What's different? And what did that do to you? You very well could have been one of these one and done guys who walked in and said, oh no, this is not for me. And, cause I've worked with those guys before, you know, they were all hype and ready to go. And then they take their first MMA fight. They take their first beat and they realize, okay, Taco Bell wasn't so bad, and they go back, you know, so let's talk about that. Let's talk about that loss, man. And what that did for you and how that changed you.
You know, that was my first amateur fight, and going in there, I didn't know what to expect. You know, I didn't know what an actual MMA fight was like. I had done grappling tournaments. I had done wrestling tournaments. I was fresh out of high school. I didn't really know what the hell I was getting myself into. And Eli welcomed me to that world, you know, and it was a great learning experience. And I'm really thankful looking back on that now, almost 4 years later, that I did lose that fight, because right away I started off with a good motivation, because you know how embarrassing it was to tell people you were 0-1, you know, so I couldn't let that sit on my chest for very long. And I had to get right back out there. I think it was 2 weeks later, I fought again, and finally evened it up to 1-1. But me as the fighter now, and me as the fighter almost 4 years ago, two completely different people. You know, now I'm physically, I'm maturing. At that time, I was only 19. And now, since moving to American Top Team full-time, training and living down here, my game has just exploded beyond levels that I thought I would be reaching at such a young age. You know, I'm really, really happy with the development that I've made down here, and they're making the a world of difference.
Well, and that's what it looks like. I said, I'm sorry, looking at your record again, like I said, it's almost like, you know, you had a year off in between that second and third fight. You got that. You wanted, like you said, you wanted to get that fight back and get 1-1. And then you took that time away for a year to like, okay, now it's time to go for it. And I admire that, man. I love that. I love that kind of story.
Thank you. And I spent during that year, you know, fighting is in my blood, if that makes sense. And I knew I needed to do something to be, you know, extraordinary. I didn't want to be some of these local fighters that you see who are always on the regional scene, have this 500 record, who are kind of punch drunk and who aren't really doing anything. And during that year, I went out to Sacramento. I went to Team Alpha Male and I saw, you know, is this going to be the right decision? Am I going to move out here? Am I going to make this choice of my career? And I went to American Top Team as well during that that year period. And I went down to American Top Team. I meshed well with the team and, you know, I decided to stay. And every fight since I've had with being with American Top Team has been a finish. I have not went to a decision since my first two fights.
Well, it's a pleasure meeting you, Sweet D, and congratulations on all your success.
Always, sir. Thank you so much.
Lindsay, you know the rundown with this thing. Of course, we need all of your shout-outs and, of course, your social media plugs.
All right, let's do it. I'm going to start off with these shout-outs, though. I'm going to thank my coaches at American Top Team and all my training partners. Because if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing now. My guys back home, Bubby Mitchell, Cole Miller, all the fighters they have. The man behind the scenes who doesn't get the credit he deserves, David Arvello. And my social media, I am LindsayJones170 on Instagram, Lindsay Jones on Facebook. And excuse me, I am not very savvy on Twitter, so I'm going to try to remember my my Twitter handle. But I believe it's either Lindsay.Jones00 or LindsayJones170 as well. Y'all make sure to give those a follow and stay up to date with all the newest things going on.
Lindsay Sweet Tea Jones returns to action July 22nd at Valor Fights versus Conflict MMA when worlds collide. Remember to catch that live on Flow Combat and get your tickets now. Those are available. Don't miss it. Lindsay, thank you so much for joining us.
Awesome. Thanks, Casey. Hey, y'all have a good night.
That does it for a great lineup of guests, as well as another episode of the Valor Hour. Join us next week for the official When Worlds Collide event preview, and we continue our discussion on a huge summer of fighting action, plus more great interviews and discussion as we continue our updates. And please remember, share this broadcast and subscribe at Apple Podcasts and Stitcher. We appreciate all the likes, but we need your shares and subscriptions. For myself, Valor Fights President Tim Loy, and our special guest host, Jeff Hobbs, thanks so much for listening, and join us next week for another episode of The Valor Hour.
For more information on upcoming events, visit ValorFights.com or find them at Valor Fights on both Facebook and Twitter. This has been The Valor Hour, powered by the law offices of Ogle, Elrod, and Beryl on Radio Influence. Radio Influence brings you the absolute best in digital audio broadcasting. We've got something for everyone. Sports personalities like the fabulous Sports Babe, Rich Herrera, and former Major League Baseball manager Kevin Kennedy as they take you inside the dugout. We'll take you inside the world of MMA with the MMA Report with Jason Floyd, the MMA Insiders, and the Valor Hour with Tim Loy and Casey Oxidine. Or you could find yourself sitting ringside with wrestling ring announcer David Penzer. TV law enforcement analyst and former police officer Vincent Hill breaks down this week's biggest crime stories and takes you beyond the badge. Chef Brian Duffy from TV's Bar Rescue shares his crazy life on the road with Duffified Live. And Scott Ledger will always make you think with some dangerous conversation. All of Radio Influence's shows can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and RadioInfluence.com.